We are now running through the series of Jesus in the Old Testament, and today we are going to meditate from the book Ezra. I think A is cropped at the back. The rebuilder of the temple. I hope some of you have an experience of constructing the building. Has any one of you here had an experience of constructing the building on your own? It need not be a big building. It can be a small hall. It can be a small room. Something like building.
Yes, all right. It passed my mind straight back to my university days when I decided it would be a good change in my final year at university almost, that my father was going to build the garage, and we had it all delivered in concrete blocks, and it was delayed. These blocks were 100 weight and a quarter each. I couldn't move. My father's always been stronger than me. Anyway, basically, we managed to do it, and well, we actually, it was Bobby's job week, and we had to lay, well, lay the foundation, lay the runway, and we used the three boys, which was my young brother, and two of his school friends, one of whom happened to be the son of a builder, so he really enjoyed himself,
good.
You know, doing it all. And yes, there was...
How long it took for you to complete that garage?
Well, we certainly managed, I mean, obviously when you have concrete delivered, oh, they tried to deliver it to the wrong house. They tried to deliver it to a lady, well, I live at 61 Shear Road, and the lorry turned up at number 6 Shear Road. The fact that the owner of number 6 Shear Road was away in the mental hospital, good night, at the time, everybody was convinced that she wouldn't want it. So, as I say, we noticed, who went down. Anyway, we got the stuff
delivered.
There were 3 cubic yards. Twice we had 3 cubic yards delivered. One from one firm and one from another.
Well, good.
So
you had an experience.
We had an experience. Actually, it didn't help really with my degree, to be honest.
Oh, good. Yeah. So do you think that has been an advancement in building industry? Comparing 40, 50 years before, is there any advancement, any new techniques or any new materials? Are they using it? Is there?
Now they are doing 3D printing.
3D printing, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I worked in a cement company before, and the company was producing a cement called eco-friendly cement. It was called a green cement. And it is again the name, there is another name called carbon negative cement. It has the properties similar to the normal Portland cement, like calcium silicate, the limestone. But there is a very much interesting thing in that cement. For example, if you want to produce the normal cement of about a ton, the energy and the time and the cost that needed for producing the normal cement is twice than that of the green cement. And normal cement, when it is like a ton of normal cement, it emits the carbon dioxide into the atmosphere about a ton. So equal amount of carbon dioxide will be emitted into the atmosphere, which is a pollution to the world. We all know that we are expecting the ozone, the hole in the ozone, and it is going to be soon. And this carbon dioxide emission into the atmosphere will enhance the time. But this carbon negative cement, instead of it emitting any carbon dioxide, it absorbs carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So for a ton of green cement, it absorbs a ton of carbon dioxide. So we call that as carbon negative cement. There has been lots of advancement in building industry, and there are like thermal and sound insulation bricks are used, and I heard that recently they are using glasses, like self-healing and self-cleaning glasses. We don't need to hire any cleaning people, so it will be cleaned on its own. So many advancements that are happening. So for constructing a building, we need to bring all these materials like cement, mortar, stones, gravel, and everything into one place, into the site where the building is constructed. But because of the lack of space these days, the mixing and the preparation will be happened in the outskirts of the city, and it will be transported into the container to the place where they are building. For reconstructing the building, I was just thinking about the Grenfell Hall, which has been burnt recently. You can see that everything has been burnt. In order to rebuild this temple, this hall, they need to scrap it down. They need to remove all the ruins and rubbles from this place. The place needs to be cleaned for a new construction to erect. So I believe it would take twice the amount of work, manpower, energy, and cost, and all those things for rebuilding the temple. Remember the temple in Jerusalem. The first temple was built by Solomon, the king of the United Kingdom of Israel and Judah in the 10th century BC. And during the kingdom of Judah, this temple construction was completed and it was dedicated to the Lord God, and the Ark of Covenant was housed inside. But all these details about the first temple can be found in Tanakh, a Hebrew Bible, which is the textual resource for our Christian Old Testament Bible. According to Tanakh, it says that when Nebuchadnezzar, the Neo-Babylonian king, he plundered Jerusalem temple. And it was happening when the Babylonians were attacking the Jerusalem during the brief period of Jehoiachin, the king who was ruling at that time. So after a decade, about 10 years, Nebuchadnezzar II again besieged the Jerusalem, and he almost breached the walls of the temple, and the temple was burnt down, and all the city was destroyed. So the first temple was gone. We are going to see in Ezra how they have rebuilt the temple. Especially Ezra, the book has 10 chapters. The first 6 chapters are concentrating or explaining about how they have rebuilt the temple, how they have rebuilt the altar. Zerubbabel was a main person. With the help of Jeshua, he was doing this construction work. In the first 6 books, 6 chapters, we can read that. When Babylonian kingdom was falling down, Cyrus, the Persian Empire, he saying that all the Jews who are exiled into the Babylon can return to the land of Israel and they can start building or rebuilding the temple. I read this Ezra first chapter, 1-3 verse. Just follow the words carefully. I would like to ask, what does it interest you? In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. It really interested me. What does it infer you? Is there anything interesting you can see there? Very good. That's the same thing what John was saying. Like Cyrus, the king of Persia, God used, can use even the enemies to glorify his name. It is so wonderful. And when I was reading that, this verse came to my mind, Isaiah chapter 48. For my namesake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. That is the God. He does not share his glory. And sometimes he used even the shepherd boy like David and other people like Moses to glorify his name. And he glorified himself by choosing his own people. But in this book, we see that he has used the Persian empire, the Persian king, through the prophet Jeremiah, and he kindled his heart and he said, people, please go back and build your temple and worship your Lord. You give offering to your Lord. And that is the beauty of our Lord. He used the same thing with Pharaoh. He hardened his heart, and through that he delivered his people from Egypt. When we are building the temple, when we are building the altar, when we are doing something for the God, there will be some oppositions that cannot be avoided. If there is no oppositions, then there is something problem in it. If there is opposition, then we can be of sure that God is here with us. The first opposition they felt is from pessimists. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord. Despite the fear of the people, even in the post-Christendom now, we are filled with fear. We are filled with the fear of people sometimes not standing firm in the word of God. Some are zealous and holy, while others are still carnal and mistaught. Surrounding the spiritual decline, we are given courage when we consider his faithfulness and his promises that endure forever. So now they built the altar, the foundation of the temple was laid. After that, once the foundation was laid, the people became very happy. All the Levites and priests with their garments and with all the musical instruments like cymbals and trumpets, they shouted to the Lord. With the praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good. His love endures forever. He has helped us to build the foundation. Now we are here. Shall we sing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? Because Jesus has built the foundation for us. He has rebuilt and He has become a new covenant for us. When we are going to sing this song, we are going to say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in my life and in the life of church. Shall we sing this song? So the first opposition we had with the pessimist, and the second opposition because of cooperation. We always think that cooperating with one another, it is for good. But here, when you read it, the opponents, they came and they said they want to help the Jewish people to rebuild the temple. The wisdom of God is very much required. And Zerubbabel and Jeshua, they were blessed with God's wisdom. When they heard the enemies were coming and offering the help, let us help you build. Because like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to Him. We, with the human wisdom, it is easy that we will just to fall onto that and we say that, yes, people have come to worship and we are all going to work together and whatever it is, yes, we will do it and there will be flexibility, compromise and all those things. Wisdom of God is needed. Zerubbabel, he stood firmly there and he replied, you have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel. It is really strange to understand, isn't it? They have come to help us to build the temple. How Zerubbabel found that? No, it is enough. We will build. We need God's wisdom, simply. And also, we need to have the discerning spirit. What the help is going to change in the midst of our worship and our fellowship in the church. It is good to invite and have a fellowship with everyone. Let God's wisdom be needed. During this time of when Zerubbabel replied that we are not going to take your offer, immediately the opponents, they decided to do something against Zerubbabel. And they hired some lawyers and counselors, and they went to send the letter to Babylonian king, saying that you sent the letter before to stop the work of the temple, but now they are still constructing it. Can you look on it? So the letter came from the Babylonian king asking the people to stop constructing further. And the work was stopped. Only the foundation was laid. There was nothing happening after that. And then there was an official, the Persian official. His name is Tatanai. And he came and he asked, what are you doing, people? We got a decree from the Persian king that we should stop. And you stopped it for a while. But now you started constructing it again. That time, God gave two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. And those prophecies really encouraged Zerubbabel and Jeshua. And the people of Israel, they heard the prophecies from God through these prophets and they decided, okay, we should start continuing rebuilding the temple. And Tatanai was coming again asking, why you are doing it? Because we have asked you to stop the work. Why you are doing that? Then the people replied in wisdom again, saying that when we were living in Babylon, The king, Cyrus, has asked us to go back to our original land to rebuild the temple of our God. So that's why we are constructing here. Tatanai contacted the people, and the people in Persia, they confirmed, yes. When King Cyrus was living long ago before, he sent that decree, and the building need to be reconstructed. So there were hurdles. There were disturbances. There were some kind of hindrances in constructing the Lord's temple. Same like when we are doing God's work. And finally, in 4 years of time, they finished building the temple. The construction was built. And they want to dedicate this temple to the Lord. They dedicated it. And they wanted to celebrate the Passover. They came there. On the 14th day of the first month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and the Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles, for their relatives, the priests, and for themselves. So the Israelites who had returned from the exile ate it together with all who had separated themselves from the unclean practices of their Gentile neighbors in order to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. For 7 days they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them in the work on the house of God, the house of Israel. They had to do lots of offerings on that Passover lamb. But after Jesus has come, he simplified the work for us. We don't need to go every time to the altar to worship, bringing bulls and lambs to sacrifice. He himself sacrificed him. And he became the offering for us. He sacrificed his life. He shed his blood for once for all. And we have a relationship with Christ. We have come up to chapter 1 to 6, but our hero is not appearing still. What happened to Israel? And we call him like a rebuilder of the temple. The building work has been completed. It was dedicated, and the Passover was celebrated. And still, what does Ezra to do with the rebuilding of the temple? What is he doing in that? After 50 years of this, Ezra, he appeared again. And he brought a group of people, a team of people from Babylon. Still they were exiles. So he was bringing them back to the land of Israel. And this time, Ezra, he is a scribe. The meaning of his name is help. And he was a learned scholar. And he was a teacher. He was well-versed with the laws of Moses. Sometimes, God picks up ordinary people for doing extraordinary things. We have seen in David's life, in other prophet's life. There were shepherds and fishermen in the New Testament. Picks up very simple people, ordinary people. But in this story, God picked up a learned scholar, a learned teacher. And when you start knowing about where is he coming from, if you read about the descendancies of Ezra, it starts with saying, Ezra, the son of Azariah, Sariah, many names, it keeps on going. And if you read it, it ends up saying that he is the son of Eleazar and the son of Aaron. He is from the family of priesthood. God calls people, he anoints them with the Holy Spirit, and also He brings favor to them from people around and from the circumstances. This Ezra, he has brought favor. God has brought favor in Ezra's life through the Assyrian king. And the king was telling to Ezra, moreover, you are to take with you the silver and gold that the king and his advisors have freely given to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem. Together with all the silver and gold you may obtain from the province of Babylon, as well as the freewill offerings of the people and priests for the temple of their God in Israel. With this money, be sure to buy bulls, rams, and male lambs, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, and sacrifice them on the altar of the temple of your God in Jerusalem. Yes, the temple has been built. The sanctuary was there. Where is the worship? God does not live in just within the four walls, in the building construction. He dwells among the people. He wants to have the relationship with the people. That was the reason he has created us. And here, until then, there was not worship happening or not anything continued with that building work was completed. Again, the Lord moved the king, Artaxerxes, if I'm not sure whether I'm pronouncing rightly. And he has given the letter to Ezra, go back, take a team of people. Not only the people he has given along with him, he has said, if there is any priests and Levites available, take them along with you. He said, not only the people, take gold and silver with you. And if you read further, he would say that if the finance is not sufficient, go and take money from the royal treasury. How God has moved the heart of the king. And this is the favor God brings to people from unknown places, from unexpected events. Glory to God. Ezra, he came there. He rebuilt the temple. How he was rebuilding? The construction, not about the construction here. He was rebuilding with the praises, prayers, and confession. Praises. He said, praise be to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials. There is a challenge here. Sometimes when we get favor from people or from authorities or from circumstance, our eyes may fall on them and we would like to give them thanks. We would like to say like, oh, how good you have been. It is good. Like God moves through people. But Ezra identified where the favor has originated from. He knows that the favor has come from the Lord of God, and the Lord God moved the heart of the king and the favor was given to him. Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. He started the prayer with the praises. Hallowed be your name. We need to start. We have worshipped in the morning service with the praises and worship. And we are gathering here as a fellowship of people giving praises to the Lord. We gave praises now in the service when we started. So the praises are the one to whom he belongs. And he is deserved to be praised. And our mouth should be filled with praises because we received favor from him. Prayers. Yes, God has called Ezra. God has called every one of us individually. And he has called for a purpose. So it is done. Do we need to go and talk to him every day or pray to him? Ezra identified. He said, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children. with all our possessions. Fasting prayer. Prayer is very important, as we saw in the Lord's Prayer. It starts with praising God, the Father, and then it continues with the need of us. Give us this day our daily bread. Humbling ourselves. Fasting helps us to humble. And it helps us to concentrate and focus. Prayer is very much essential. And the prayer is the backbone or the main important and essential one for every one of us in our individual life and also the life of the church. We need to dedicate our altar with full of praises and prayers. Because Ezra was having challenges. He was really afraid of marauder bones, desert terrain, and dangerous wildlife. Because on the way, when they were traveling with his children and the people and all the possessions, with all lots of gold and silver, the robbers may come and take everything. He didn't get favor from the king for that. He trusted in the Lord. Let us pray. Let us come together and pray for our safety. When we are living on this earth, we need to ask for our safety. We need to be protected. We need to have a continuous relationship with God through prayers. He was confessing. He heard the news of intermarriage that was happening among the Jewish people. Once he heard that, he tore his tunic and cloak, pulled his hair and beard, and sat down and appalled. Then at the evening sacrifice, he rose again, and he, with the tunic and the cloak form, fell on his knees with hands spread out to the Lord his God, and he prayed, "Lord, I am too ashamed and disgraced, my God, to lift up my face to you, because our sins are higher than our heads, and our guilt has reached to the heavens." God is expecting this kind of confession from us. We are all paid by the blood of Christ, and we are all bought by his grace. But out of flesh and weaknesses, we do commit sins, knowingly and unknowingly. We are prone to do mistakes. But we need to come back to the Lord every time with a confession, saying that, "Lord, I seek your forgiveness." And we need to make ourselves holy through asking our confessions and seeking for his mercy. Intermarriage, it is very difficult and tedious one. Sometimes, very rarely, it goes well. In our life, when Donnie got married to me, I was not in the Lord. I don't know how he took that decision. But we thank God every day that Donnie has not slided away to the other side. I didn't pull him back to the other side. Rather than, by God's mercy, he drew me to his side. But it doesn't happen every time. There are lots of risks involved. When I was preparing this, I thought about when Christianity was coming into the United Kingdom. I believe there must be 100% of Christians in this nation. What about the statistics now? What happened to the lessons, whether it has transferred to the children, their children, and their children, or stopped somewhere, or deviated somewhere, or distracted? Let us not get compromised with our own family being saved and our own children being saved, and we are all in Christ. Like Ezra, this is our time to weep and cry and the burden to be poured out in God's hands. Lord, we need to restore our people back. Where are our people? Where are the souls have been lost? Is there any souls not known about the Lord? What is the burden you have given to us as a church? How to outreach them? Bring us the possibility and give us strength Give us wisdom so that we can outreach to them. We don't want to lose any souls around. That was a commission God has given to us. That was the rebuilding of the temple we need to do. Before Ezra, Zerubbabel rebuilt the construction of the building. And Ezra rebuilt the temple by the people and worship. Jesus, he became a new covenant himself. He sacrificed himself and he rebuilt the temple, and that's why we are all here. But now our commission is to rebuild the kingdom, bringing the lost souls back. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Lord, help us in the days coming when we are going out. Lord, let the burden, what we heard from Ezra, the weeping, the wailing for the souls that has been lost, to be bring back to the altar here. Help us, Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom and discernment where to go and what to do. If you lead us, Lord, we are here to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.